Good morning, and welcome to the Paul Green Comedy Podcast. It is April 18th, 2024, and this is episode 141 of the Paul Green Comedy Podcast. Stand-up comedian and actor Paul Green here, documenting my journey as a comedian, as a performer, as a dreamer, an artiste. And let's see, yesterday was an interesting day. I slept a ton. I slept hours and hours and hours. I felt like Jenny in Forrest Gump. And she just slept and slept and slept. And I really needed it because I have been all over the place with my sleeping schedule, pulling all-nighters, getting a few hours there, a few hours there. And it has just been not good. And so I think my body was finally like, we're doing this now. Let's just conk out for a good while. And so I went and got, after waking up, I went and got my writing in at the library, and then went and grabbed some dinner and wrote some more. And then I went to the gym and I did my workouts. So those of you following the podcast know that I have a goal to every day is to write new bits, to write new comedy bits. To do 10 squats, 20 push-ups, 20 sit-ups, a minimum. And then I am also not drinking sugar soda 6 days a week. And to date, I have been 100% on my goals. And I attribute that to this podcast, which is one of the main reasons I do this. It may feel like I'm doing this for you. I know I'm doing this for me because it holds me accountable. And I need that because discipline has never been my strong suit, especially writing discipline. And anybody who I've ever talked to or listened to, like podcasts, any successful comedian, all talk about how having a discipline for writing is the really only way to be successful as a comedian. And that has been the biggest challenge for me. Is I've always sort of written kind of ad hoc. It's like, you know, something will happen or I'll have an experience and I'll be like, oh, I should go turn that into a comedy bit. I'll turn it into a comedy bit and then that'll be my new comedy bit for a while, which has served me okay. It's gotten me to where I'm at, but to get to the next level, it is clear to me that that will no longer suffice and that I need to be significantly more vigilant in my writing discipline. So I've been writing every day and then sharing my new material on the podcast. So last night, this is what I wrote. We'll see how this goes. So I have been a single man almost my entire life. And the way things are going, I don't see that changing. So what really bothers me about that is this automatic assumption that if you are single, that you're miserable. There is just this ethos in our society that if you are single, you are unhappy and that everybody should be either in a relationship or working towards a relationship. And if you're not in a relationship, you're unhappy. And that's just, I just don't believe that. I don't believe it. What bothers me is every time you like see somebody you haven't talked to in a while, the moment you tell them they're single, it's like their whole attitude towards you changes. You could just see somebody like, oh my gosh, how you doing, man? You dating anybody? You seen anybody? You'd be like, oh, no, I'm single. Oh, Paul, man. Oh, oof. Sorry, man. Yeah, sorry to hear that. And then they automatically go into some sort of vague advice in the form of like some cliche. It'll be like, well, Paul, just so you know, man, a bird in the hand is better than a penny saved in a haystack. All right. I just don't get that. Why does everybody automatically assume that if you're single, you're miserable? Because I used to believe that. I was gaslit into believing that because I was single, that I was unhappy. And I lived a lot of my life unhappy, or so I thought, because I was single. And then I actually got into a relationship. I moved in with a woman. It was a serious relationship. And I got to tell you, being in that relationship really taught me how miserable life can really be. And as soon as I got out of that relationship, I have never been more happy to be single. I am the happiest I've ever been in my life. And all it took was me seeing how miserable a relationship can really make life. And, you know, now, of course, what does everybody say when I tell them about that experience? They go like, well, Paul, you just haven't met the right one. You haven't met the right one. Does anybody ever stop to think that maybe I'm not the right one? Why is the assumption always that I'm some perfect person and that all I need to do is find some other person who will just compliment me perfectly? I'm just like, no, I think I am the problem and I'm totally fine with that. I don't think that I'm some sort of rare, precious piece of art that's hanging out in somebody's attic and they're going to, you know, have a garage sale one day and some rare art dealer from London is going to see me leaning against an exercise bike next to some DVDs and VHS and go, oh my goodness. Yeah. You know. I don't believe it. This is not a 25% piece of art or 25-cent piece of art. This is a rare Van Gogh. All right, that's all I got. Rare Van Gogh. All right, everybody. That's the new bit. I think there's some potential there. All of this is totally raw. I'm writing it and then just sharing it online. And I guess I'll start to decide of all of this new material that I'm writing, how much of it I actually want to start honing down on. And maybe trying it at open mics or some shows. Speaking of shows, I am going to be at JP's Comedy Club for the next 4 nights, which is rare. I'll be there on Sunday as well. They usually don't have shows on Sundays, but there is an independently produced show by a good friend of mine from Los Angeles. Her name is Kiki Young, and she does the Crazy Woke Asian Show. Crazy Woke Asians. And for some reason, she has put me on her shows for like the last 4 or 5 years, although I'm neither crazy nor woke. See what I did there? I'm also not Asian either. So anyway, Kiki does a great job, and she is coming into town producing her show independently at JP's. Jim Pellery will be there as well, which will be very, very fun. And congratulations to Jim, who for some random reason, which he doesn't seem to know, and I couldn't figure out either, his YouTube channel, like 1,000x on subscribers in a day. And congratulations. And that is very, very cool. I thought maybe like he had a video go viral, but I went and looked at his videos and it didn't seem like he had a specific video pop off, but somehow his profile got discovered. And that was very cool. He actually, you know what was cool about that? I remember this quote. I think it was Jordan Peterson. What does Jordan Peterson have to do with Jim Perry, a buddy of mine, stand-up comedian and club owner of mine's social media popping off? So Jordan Peterson said that I'm kind of paraphrasing, but the essence of it was you need to know who in your life you can share good news with. And I take that to mean that your true friends, the people who truly care about you and who you truly care about, are the type of people who when something good happens, they can share it with you. And that may seem like, oh, well, wouldn't you be able to share good news with anybody in your life? And that's not actually the case. And I think there are a lot of people who actually resent the success or the good news of other people. Or maybe you have certain friends who need you to be sort of small or need you to be the person who they kind of whine and complain about. And if you tell them good news, like you get a big break or something great happens, they actually aren't happy for you. They actually resent you for it. I remember I had a good friend. This was years ago, and speaking of being single and miserable, we would commiserate all the time about being single, and we would just kind of complain about, you know, women and complain about the dates we were on, and that's really what kind of bonded us. And I started to realize that, I don't think I could share good news with this person. You know, if something actually went great, like, oh, I had this great thing, or, you know, like a good date or whatever, when I would share that with him, he would almost immediately put a wet blanket on it. It's like he was immediately trying to find ways to show me how, well, what did she really say? What did she really do? Well, you know, just because this went well doesn't mean that, you know, and it was this sort of kind of like, oh, okay, I guess I can't really share good news. And so anyway, it meant a lot to me that this buddy of mine, first of all, thought to share good news with me, and I am genuinely excited for him because those are the type of people I want in my life, people who are striving for big things, have big dreams. And when we have these opportunities or these big breaks or good news, something good happens that we can actually share it with each other and we can be excited for each other instead of like, oh, well,
what are you going to just be too big for me now? What are you going to leave?
It's like, no. I am genuinely happy and excited for everybody who I've worked with and who I do work with and who has supported me in the past and get to see cool experiences and big opportunities happen, because that's what I want to happen to me. I want to also have good news and be able to have those people in my tribe and in my corner who I can share that good news with. So that was very exciting to see somebody who is a good friend of mine kind of go viral. Very exciting. So that was very cool. So I am going to be, anyway, performing at JP's tonight, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday with the Crazy Woke Asian Show. So I'm going to have 6 shows. The big question that I am now trying to decide is, do I want to try out some of this new material, or do I want to continue doing what I have been doing, which is doing a more improvisational set and filming my crowd work? And then what I like about doing crowd work is it usually plays pretty well on social media. And the last time I performed at JP's, I filmed all, I think I did 5 sets there as well, and I filmed all of them, and I got these fun little clips of me interacting with the crowd and them saying certain things, then me getting to react to that, and then cutting those up and putting those on social media. So seeing as how I'm in sort of this rebuilding phase and I'm starting to rewrite my act from scratch, I'm trying to decide if I maybe want to throw in a bit or two of the new stuff kind of interspersed with the crowd work. But I'm going to have to go back and look, because I've written so much new stuff. Just new stuff, new stuff, new stuff, new stuff, new stuff, new stuff, new stuff. And I really haven't gone back to any of it. I'm just trying to write. And eventually there's going to come a time where I need to go like, okay, of all of this new stuff, how much of this do I actually maybe want to go back now and really refine it and, you know, try it at some open mics, see how it sounds actually coming out of my mouth into a microphone in front of other human beings. Because it's one thing to go from here to the page. It's another thing to go back to the page on stage in front of actual human beings. So, but that will be the ultimate goal, is to start to rebuild to rebuild an act with more of the style and format that my mentor, my good buddy, has been really patiently and kindly telling me that I should be doing. And I agree with him. And, you know, I've talked about this before. It is really important who you take advice from, who's been where you want to go, what do they do, and being willing to take some humble pie and go like, well, maybe what I'm doing isn't getting me there. And it hasn't, because I know what I've been doing and I know where it's gotten me, and I'm grateful for where I'm at, and I've been very fortunate. But it's the whole, if you keep on doing what you've always done, you'll get what you've always got. And so I know what my level of comedy has gotten me, and it's really great, great opportunities, great connections, but I'm now looking to expand and see what else I can shake loose. And that involves writing differently, approaching it differently, and taking the craft more seriously with more discipline than I have been previously, especially when it comes to the writing and when it comes to the joke approach and all of that. And so that is where I am at, everybody, on this day, April 18th, 2024. So I am going to go ahead and sign off for today. I will catch up with you tomorrow. I'll let you know how the show tonight goes at JP's. And again, congratulations to Jim for jumping to over. The last I checked, it was at 122,000 subscribers. He told me that a day ago he had 5,000. That is exciting. So congrats to him, and congrats to me for moving forward with my comedy career and trying to write new stuff. It is a lot just sitting in a library, just going, just blank page, just what do I want to write about? And I am just doing everything I can to just really break down to what's honest with me right now, what's true with me right now, what do I really think, what do I really feel, what really annoys me, what frightens me, what upsets me, what makes me happy, what confuses me, and just starting there, just start with the truth, with the honest truth, and then starting to just write from that point of view, and then expand and just see where it goes, what analogies come out of that, what sort of act outs come out of that, what sort of emotional truth that I can demonstrate, exaggerate, use analogies, use all of that sort of storytelling, those storytelling tropes and everything. I watched about 2 minutes of Jim Gaffigan before I started writing last night, because I just went, okay, if Jim Gaffigan has reached a level of success that would be amazing if I could obtain that, what does he do? And I watched 2 minutes and I went, yes, he does exactly what my friend Andrew said I should be doing, which is he starts with his observation or what's true with him right now. He shares his honest opinion about it, and then he demonstrates, or he acts it out, or he does an analogy about what it is. He was talking about COVID and about how we all thought that we were done. We did it! That's the Jim Gaffin. We beat COVID! Oh, and then he did an analogy. Oh, he goes, it's like a TV show that we thought got canceled and then gets picked up by Netflix. Didn't they cancel that? I'm not sure I'm ready for another season. You know, does that kind of Jim Gaffigan high voice. And I just went, I mean, that's it. That's all it is. And it may seem like copying. It may seem like, you know, like I'm not being artistic or I'm not being true to myself, but that's really what art is. Every pop song is the same thing. Every TV show is the same thing. Every movie is the same thing. It's the same thing, but different, right? It's the same formats, the same structures, the same storytelling formats, the same act structure, for songs. It's the same music structure. It's the same chord progressions. It's the same basic topics. It's just, how does this new artist filter their point of view through those structures? And, you know, it's a little humbling to just go, well, no, what do I need to do? I don't need to reinvent the wheel. I just need to look at what the greats are already doing and then just put my own point of view and my own take in those same structures. And that's what I've been doing. And it's actually made it a lot easier for me to write because I don't have to reinvent the wheel. I just need to take the wheel that has already been invented and then just put it on my car. That was a bad analogy. All right, everybody. I hope that you are doing well out there, that your dreams are coming true, that you are finding joy in your journey, and that you're having cool success stories, cool things happening, like to my buddy Jim, going viral on YouTube, which is just so fun. Go check him out at The Cop Comic on YouTube or social media. And again, congrats to him. And I love all of you so much. This is April 18th, 2024, episode 141 of the Paul Green Comedy Podcast. And I will check in with all of you tomorrow.